All right, good afternoon, everybody. We are back in session. Carla, could you please read items 348 and 349?
348, amend the transportation system plan consistent with the 2035 comprehensive plan and in compliance with the regional transportation plan. Amend River District Master Street Plan, add policies for automated vehicles, adopt findings of compliance, adopt corrections, amend transportation and parking demand management code to clarify requirements. And 349, amend the transportation system plan to update introduction, modal plans, implementation strategies, and glossary.
Very good. And before I turn this over to Commissioner Saltzman, could I get a clarification from legal counsel? Are these both first readings?
No, all of these items have previously
been continued.
They're continued, yes.
Okay, so on items 348 and 349, is the intention that we will actually take votes on these today?
Yes, on the final or the amendments?
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
I just want to make sure procedurally I get this straight.
It's my understanding procedurally that you'll vote on the amendment. Sorry, I'm Courtney Duke with the Bureau of Transportation.
Thanks, Courtney.
That you will vote on the amendment and vote on the full package as your first vote, and you'd have your second vote in May.
So So let's clarify. I think that means you've had a motion and second on these amendments before.
Correct.
Had the record open to allow people to give testimony. Council will vote on the amendments, which then means you need at least a five-day period before you can take a vote on the package.
So assuming we have amendments, then we will move them to second reading as amended. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Just want to make sure I had that straight.
Mayor,
can I twist, though, in that staff has a amendment to my amendment, so I don't know whether we have to then.
I think if it pertains to the same topic and it's responding to whatever information and testimony, I think it's fine for you to vote on those amendments today, and then you could take the final vote on the package when it comes back.
Sounds good.
Very good. And do we take testimony on the amendments that are being offered today, or is the record closed?
I think you could.
The record is closed.
The record is closed. And again, if the amendments are responding to the testimony and the conversation that's already heard, I don't think you necessarily need to take any additional testimony.
Great. Very good. Thank you. I appreciate that clarification. Sorry, Commissioner Saltzman, thank you for your patience.
Well, thanks. We're revisiting the transportation systems plan. I'll turn it over to Courtney Duke.
Great,
I do
thanks.
Have an amendment I want to offer at the appropriate point concerning Lincoln High School superblock development.
Okay, so I think that's a part of Central City 2035, not the TSP. Is that correct?
Correct, and that's a time certain at 4:30.
Oh, okay. That's right. I forgot about
that. I was confused, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so just so both of the commissioners know, I gathered a couple of copies of that, and we'll give them to the 2035 staff when they appear in the room. So.
Okay. We do look interchangeable, I know. But
Mayor, can I ask a procedural question?
Yeah, Commissioner Fish, you bet.
So I'm delighted we're getting to some votes here. It seems like we've been building to this moment, and today we actually get to cast some votes. I have a 4:30 absence, but it also says that Central City 2035 is only requesting 15 minutes. Is that true?
At this point, it's a very limited set of mostly you're wrapping up pieces of, or I guess amendments that you considered at your last hearing. So mostly should be relatively quick.
Okay.
There's as you've seen, there's one other amendment on the table. It looks fairly simple, so I'm sure it will go fairly quick.
All right, so Mayor, I'm going to try to push off that just a little bit because I want to make sure that we have a full council to vote on those amendments.
Very good. All right, so let's move forward on 348 and 349.
So again, I'm Courtney Duke with the Bureau of Transportation, project manager for the TSP, and you're looking at TSP 3, which is the final stage of the transportation system plan update and its components of the comprehensive plan. So again, we're here today to look at the amendment, to vote on the amendments that Commissioner Fritz proposed, and we had some minor changes to that as from staff. So we're just looking for any discussion that you have on that, and then the first vote. Is that right, Lindley? Did I say that right?
So the sheet I got from your staff shows three amendments, one to policy 9XAA, 9XAB, 9XAD, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so maybe you can take them all three together, or you can take them one at a time.
That's a review, colleagues. This is to the connected and autonomous vehicles, Section 8. Yes. And we did discuss it last time. One was to add supporting and encouraging use of public transportation. One was to add this includes people with disabilities as well as communities of color, women, and geographically underserved communities. And then the final one is the one that requires a slight amendment, which would now read, require adequate insurance coverage for operators, customers, and the public at large by providers of commercial, connected, and autonomous vehicle services. So staff's suggestion is to add commercial services.
So this would be, if I understood you, you had 9XAA, 9XAB, and did you say 9XAC?
It's a D.
D is in dog. So this would be an amendment to 9XAD. Is that correct?
There's an amendment to 9XBF.
So what I have for the one that Commissioner Fritsch just mentioned, that is 9XAA that has to do with the insurance coverage.
We need a second on that amendment. I'll second that amendment.
Yeah.
So we have a second, Commissioner Fritz's amendment, which includes commercial insurance, and that is an amendment to 9XAA.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. We're in business.
I think somebody's going to explain why it's no.
Mayor,
longer
Commissioner,
AA.
Just
yes.
Suggested. I'm Peter Hurley with the Bureau of Transportation.
Hi,
the policy, as written, there's an explicit tools section. And we feel that the language here, which entirely appropriate, fits well within the tools section, which is 9XB sub F. And so that if you look at the policy, there are A through E tools that are essentially outlining how we would implement the policy. This would fit appropriately within that if it's...
No, I would prefer to have it in the policy. So I'd like to keep it in AA rather than back in the tools, please.
Very good. So we have a motion and a second for an amendment to 9XAA. Is there any further discussion? Could you call the roll, please, Carla, on the amendment to 9XAA?
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. So that is the amendment to 9XAA. So now the question pertains to the amendments themselves, including 9XAA, which has now been amended.
Correct.
And shall we take all three of them as a package?
That's fine with me.
I have no objection. Very good. We will consider 9XAA, 9XAB, and 9XAE.
D.
D. I am sorry. D as in dog. Those will now be a package. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Fish.
Well, I appreciate these amendments, and at the risk of beating a dead horse, I just want to restate that my view is that we are poised to have a big conversation about the extent to which the city regulates and participates in this emerging technology of autonomous vehicles. Clearly, those of us, you know, for those of us who read the headlines, there have been some glitches in some of the tests that are being done around the country. I have received some fairly terse emails from people accusing me of being somewhere between a Luddite and a Neanderthal for raising some concerns here, and I just want to be very clear. I am not personally opposed to the march of technology. I just think that we first have to have a conversation about what the framework is, the policies, and our priorities before we back into anything, particularly something that has as far-ranging in consequences as this technology is. So that's been the consistent theme of my concerns, is that essentially we not put the cart before the horse, and that we carefully think through what it means to be a city that allows autonomous vehicles. As is pointed out in one of our prior hearings, maybe by Chris Smith, it may be that Congress preempts us altogether from having this conversation, which I guess they technically have the right to do, although I hope they don't. Anyway, I appreciate these amendments, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your partnership on this issue. I want to make sure the Council knows that I already also submitted similar amendments to the Metro Policy Advisory Committee so that Metro's policy reflects this. I think it's very clear this technology is coming. How we allow it to happen and when and whether are questions which I believe are entirely within the purview of the City Council, and not only that, but our responsibility to make sure that these vehicles are safe for passengers and other users of the right-of-way. I think we're going to need to change what you just said at the beginning about beating a dead horse to smacking an autonomous vehicle, because it's really kind of similar. It's that somebody's got to take some responsibility at some point. Aye.
Wheeler.
So there are two things that come to mind. The first is yesterday's testimony of Mark Zuckerberg in front of the U.S. Senate. And it was really apparent. It was interesting, the parts I saw. But the main headline after that was that the folks in the U.S. Senate, despite their good intentions, really didn't have any clue how Facebook actually worked, despite the fact that it's been around for a long, long time. And so there they were, on the cusp of proposing a regulatory framework, and then they realize, wow, we don't even understand what it is we are trying to regulate. That's sort of the first thing that comes to mind. The second thing that comes to mind is what Commissioner Fritz just alluded to, which is our responsibility to try and stay ahead of the technology and anticipate what problems could exist in the community for the people who live here. It's not that we have any objection to the technology per se or concerned about the technology per se. And in fact, I aggressively embrace it. I think there's a lot of phenomenal potential here. But we do have this responsibility to the people we represent to make sure that basic requirements that government typically imposes around safety, around insurance requirements, around qualifications, those things have to be met, just as we do with the current transportation framework. So I think this is a really good first step. I support it. Thanks for everybody who's been working so hard on it. I vote aye. The package of amendments, as amended, has been adopted. So does that complete our work on 348 and 49, or is there more we need to do?
It does, and we should just mention that this comes back to Council for the final vote on May 24th, correct?
Can I confirm that they actually voted for the whole package?
I think we only voted on the amendments.
They can't, because they've made amendments to it. So it comes back for the vote on the May 24th. Afternoon time.
Okay, so we effectively will take a second reading on May 4th. Is that correct?
So May 24th, you're going to have a fun day with a lot of things where you are getting complete packages that reflect all of the amendments you've made to all of these different documents. They're all coming back. And you'll essentially have a version that shows strike through underline of all the changes in all these packages. And you'll vote on that. And then you'll have the second reading that comes back.
Very good. And does that have to be assigned a time certain?
I believe it already is, Carla. I'm pretty sure it's set for 2 p.m. time certain on the 24th for everything.
Correct. 2 p.m. on the 24th.
Okay.
All right. It'll be a nail biter. Be there.
All right. Thank you so much.
You bet. Next, we have items 350 and 351. Those are also to be read together.
Item 350, amend zoning regulations to implement the 2035 comprehensive plan through the code reconciliation project. And 351, amend tree, noise, and sign regulations to effectively implement Portland City Code through the code reconciliation project.
All right, good. So as you just heard, this is to discuss testimony received on the code reconciliation project and consider several amendments. Carla's read the item. We have BPS staff, including Eric Engstrom and Barry Manning, to come up and introduce the session. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Commissioners, Mayor Wheeler. My name is Eric Engstrom. I manage the Comprehensive Planning Group at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. My role in this last few items has been just to orient you once again that this is one of the several items, along with the last item, that's helping us wrap up loose ends to implement the new comprehensive plan on May 24th. So like that last item, this one will get its final reading on May 24th. we're one step earlier in the process with this, which is that you've had hearings and heard testimony, and this is your first time to discuss what amendments you want to have on the table with this. So I will turn it over to Barry to go over what we have so far.
Great. Thanks, Eric. Barry Manning, planning staff. Good afternoon, commissioners.
Good afternoon.
Mayor Wheeler. So I'm just going to cover where we've been and what we have on the table today and see if we can move forward. City Council held a hearing on the Planning and Sustainability Commission's recommended draft of the code reconciliation project back on March 21st. And as you'll recall, at the March 21st hearing, staff proposed a packet of additional amendments for your consideration. On that date, you moved and seconded to include those in the package for consideration. And then City Council held a public hearing. We had about nine folks testify orally on a variety of topics, but much of it on removal of a buffer overlay zone, if you'll recall, on a property on St. Helens Road. And then we've also received over 50 pieces of written testimony, a large majority of that testimony about the buffer overlay, either in the form of individual emails or a petition that was included in that package. So in response to all that, staff prepared a memo to council dated on 4/3/18, summarizing the public testimony. We related six themes. And as I just mentioned, we had a significant amount of testimony. The majority of that testimony was regarding that buffer overlay zone, particularly as it applied to 2425 St. Helens Road. But we also had some additional requests in that testimony, and I'm just going to enumerate those now. It was a request to change the FAR on a property at 2525 Northwest Lovejoy to 4-1 on the zoning maps. There was a request to amend the parking code regulations. There was a request to allow use of community design standards for buildings that were exercising an option for additional 5 feet for taller ground floors, which would allow buildings to be 60 feet high using design standards. There was a request to reduce the residential buffer or setback as staff has interpreted that request. And then finally, there was a testimony to support the self-service storage amendments that were included in the packet. And in that 4-3 memo, staff forwarded the council some recommendations about those testimony requests. We were supportive of relooking at the buffer and reconsidering that. We felt the other requests were discussed pretty significantly during the comprehensive plan process and probably required additional study before we wanted to move forward on any of those, so we weren't supporting those. But certainly would be interested in hearing council's discussion on those topics. So with that, staff forwarded a second amendment memo to you all on 4/10, which is just yesterday. And I have that here. And I think Carla may have passed that out, or maybe she's passing it out now, but you should have received that via email from us. And that memo contains several additional amendments, including one that we understand will be proposed regarding the buffer overlay from Commissioner Fritz, and several additional staff proposed amendments that are, again, more technical in nature. And I've got a really short PowerPoint that I can show you to outline what those additional amendments are.
All right.
So with that, I'll just walk through this. Again, why we're doing the project, we're reconciling zoning and other city codes with the 2035 adopted plan implementation package. We're really focusing on cleaning up redundancies, fixing cross-references, and fine-tuning where we can. The package is largely technical, but there are some changes that do have development implications. As I mentioned before, there are four titles affected, 33 planning and zoning, then also 11 trees, 18 noise control, and 32 signs and related regulations. And the amendments that we have on the table affect 33 and 32 today, potentially. So the first one, I believe Commissioner Fritz will be sponsoring, really deals with the buffer overlay zone. And I will defer to the commissioner to introduce that, but our understanding of the recommendation will be parallel to the action that council took preliminarily on the buffer overlay zone map project last week, which would be to retain the buffer overlay not only on the map as you did last week, but also in the code so that there's a code to support that buffer overlay. And then there was a testimony on a related regulation in the sign code that related to limitations on signs in the buffer overlay that we would also say that should if we're going to move in that direction, we'd want to make that parallel amendment as well. And then for staff amendments, we have several other minor technical changes. I'll run through them really quickly. In the chapter 120, which deals with multi-dwelling, we've got several maps, 120-6, 127, 128, and 12010, that are being changed to correspond to the new zoning designations that were adopted. If you'd like to look at those maps, I have those as resource slides, and we can look at them. They were in the packet if you'd like to look at them further. That's items 3 through 6 in the memo. One that's more significant and is worth talking about a little bit here, it relates to the affordable commercial bonus, which we talked about at the last meeting. This bonus offers additional floor area and height for projects that provide affordable commercial space, and Prosper Portland is working on administrative rules and will be the administrator of this bonus. And what we're doing here is amending a section of the zoning code to clarify for implementation how the affordable commercial bonus would work vis-a-vis the inclusionary housing bonus, which is also in the code, so that it's, there's some clarity about what types of projects would access bonuses through which avenue. And the proposal is that in the code of 100 projects that were 100% residential but weren't triggering IH because they're not hitting that 20 units threshold, would go to the inclusionary housing program and either build housing units or make a contribution to the affordable housing fund in order to gain additional FAR. So clearly, if you're a housing project, you were going to the housing funds for or building the housing on site. For non-residential projects, for projects that are 100% commercial and contain no residential units, the proposal is that those projects would first access the affordable commercial space on site or pay into an affordable commercial fund to access part of the FAR. Now, the affordable commercial bonus only allows half of the maximum FAR, so if a project wanted to utilize the full floor area allowed on a site, they would have to actually use affordable commercial and affordable housing opportunity to get there. And then finally, for mixed-use projects, so these projects would include residential and commercial, that would like to gain bonus floor area, they can do so by either providing voluntary affordable housing units on site, by building on-site affordable commercial space, or by first making a payment to the affordable commercial fund up to the maximum limit that they can, which again is half of the maximum, and then turning to the housing fund for the rest of that. The other clarification here is that we're clarifying in the code that the affordable commercial space bonus, as it's structured right now, if you build space on site, the return is 2 square feet of bonus floor area for every 1 square foot of space provided. There's a slight incentive to provide it on site, much like the housing is structured to provide an incentive to do it on site. But clarifying that if you're purchasing floor area via the affordable commercial space fund, the ratio is 1 square foot per the dollar figure. And those figures are preliminarily set to be the same as the affordable or the affordable housing figures in, administered by the Portland Housing Bureau.
So everything Barry just talked about is a situation where you're below the thresholds for being required to do the mandatory inclusionary housing, but you want to gain additional FAR through paying into one of the other funds.
This is all the voluntary side of the program. And it's our understanding, as my memo indicated, that housing and Prosper Portland have had conversations about this, and they're in agreement about the way that that allocation would work, at least between the two bureaus.
So they're both supportive?
They are both supportive, yes. The next amendment we're proposing is to map 426, which is the gateway plan district area, and there was a slight error in the way the map boundary was drawn, so we're updating that to this particular design overlay map to make it conform to the new zoning, more of a technical thing. We found an item we had overlooked in the Hayden Island Plan District. This is item 10. We're amending a section of that code that made reference to an allowance for drive-through developments in a certain part of the island that is currently zoned Neighborhood Commercial 2. That zoning is being changed to Commercial Mixed Use 1. And what this amendment would do is carry forward that allowance for drive-throughs in that area that exists today. And finally, we're making several amendments to the plan development chapter, as it which is 33854, in its application for use with a commercial mixed-use bonus. And if you recall, this bonus allows additional height and utilization of the floor area on large sites when they go through a plan development that has a design review component. And the amendments we're making after discussions with PBOT and BDS staff are to delete a transportation impact study requirement. There's no directly relatable approval criterion for this particular review, so we found that that was an inappropriate application requirement. We're removing reference to a connectivity requirement. It's noted in this subsection. It proved confusing because the city has other connectivity requirements in other sections of the code that people will relate to, so this was somewhat redundant. And then finally, we're just clarifying a regulation about when modifications and adjustments can be used. And I think that's all the slides I've got. Oh, the last two slides I'm just reviewing. Again, March 21st, you all considered several amendments that we had on the table in that package, and I just have them here for your reference if you need to refer back to them for some reason. So the next steps here, we're looking to have City Council move and second these amendments as appropriate, and then we'll come back and we can talk about next steps later, but we'll be preparing an as amended document and coming back to you for votes later on in the month.
So, all right, very good. Why don't we start with Commissioner Fritz? I know that she wants to make at least two amendments. Is that correct?
Yes, thank you, Matt.
Very good.
So the first two amendments are to hold off on doing the buffer changes. We heard a lot of testimony from Willamette Heights, and certainly they made a compelling case for their particular location. It seems to me likely that there are, if we were to look in detail at all the other sites where the buffer was being removed, there might be a similar concerns, perhaps from neighbors who weren't necessarily either paying attention or able to come into the public hearing process. So it seems to me wise that we basically keep the buffer as is, both on the map and in the code, in the regulations in Title 32 and in 33. And so I am moving that we amend the recommendation, remove the deletion of 33.410, retain the buffer overlay zone in the zoning code, and amend the recommendation to remove the deletion and retain the related buffer overlay regulations in Title 32 and renumber the sections as shown.
Second.
We have a motion for Commissioner Fritz. We have a second from Commissioner Fish. All right.
And Mayor, can I propose that the staff, unless there's objection, that the staff proposed amendments be considered as a package?
I actually have a question about one of them.
Or can we take that one out and just vote on the rest?
Sounds fine to me.
Yeah, we just do this like without objection. Just
all right,
whatever,
very
whatever.
Good. Can we get a motion and a second to incorporate?
Which one do you want to drop?
The one about the affordable commercial space.
Can I get
the
number?
So that's number seven.
Number seven. So, Mayor, I move staff propose amendments 3 through 6 and 8 through 13 as a package.
Second. As a package. We have a second. Is there any discussion?
That's all we need now.
Okay, very good. And are there any other topics from the testimony that commissioners wish to discuss or additional amendments?
Seven.
So shall I talk about seven now?
Yep.
Thank you. So we had a very thoughtful letter from the Planning and Sustainability Commission dated April 5th that we were emailed that says that they agree with this proposal, but they do have some significant concerns. And the one that called out to me, some Planning and Sustainability Commission members were uncomfortable with the idea of making fee-in-lieu payments available as an option for voluntary programs to boost floor area ratio. They questioned why funds raised in this matter based on an in-lieu payment would be sole sourced to a particular city bureau when there might be alternative uses for such funds that would more directly mitigate impacts of the allowed floor area ratio, for instance, parking management programs, street trees, or whatever. It just kind of called out to me that for the inclusionary housing, we have the Housing Bureau that has an affordable housing bond that is in charge of looking at how do we do affordable housing. And so it's clear for that that the in-lieu is going to then benefit affordable housing. For this commercial program, we don't have a mechanism currently for Prosper Portland to find other alternative spaces. And so basically what developers who would be buying this using this payment, they would just basically be paying for extra floor area ratio.
The funds, our understanding through the program that Prosper has worked on is that the funds would be dedicated to a particular program that is involved in affordable commercial space, both in urban renewal districts, and this new resource would allow them to do some projects outside with this funding. So it would be a dedicated to a particular program that would end up being spent on affordable commercial space.
And if I can add, my understanding is that Prosper staff will be coming to City Council with a presentation and a briefing on their program within the next month or so. They're
okay,
supposed to be here in early May.
Might address my concerns then. Okay. So the Planning Sustainability Commission recommends that the Council adopt the Affordable Commercial Space Bonus Amendments and that we further review and work with staff to amend the code and administrative rules to better address the concerns outlined above. So perhaps, I don't know what the vehicle is, Mayor, for you bringing the Prosper Portland program, something related to coming back with a report on how this is working out, making sure that the amounts of staff, the implementation cost, again, is called out, that staff costs of designing, implementing, and monitoring this program could be large compared with its benefit. So those are the concerns I have. I'm willing to move it forward. I know we're trying to look at different ways to do things. I just want to make sure that we don't open up the door to people basically buying FAR and then not getting commercial affordable space from it.
And our expectation is there will be a program very similar to, again, as Eric said, the housing program that supports that space. And I'm just going to look around really quick to see if my colleague from Prosper Portland is in the audience and might be able to speak. She had a conflict with the commission meeting right now.
Yeah, the challenge is we don't have that as yet, or at least
I think the comment is well taken. We acknowledge that this is an experimental bonus idea, and so it deserves to be monitored and appropriately, because we don't know if it's going to work.
So I didn't hear anything in Commissioner Fritz's statement on the record that concerns me. Did you? I didn't hear anything that doesn't sound like Prosper Portland couldn't do it.
No, I think the issue will be with their administrative rules and how much certainty they have there. The code that we're talking about today doesn't really get into that detail.
And, you know, without having had the presentation yet, I don't know how much money we're talking about here. Is there going to be enough to actually make a difference, or are we basically telling more affluent developers you can buy your way up?
Mm-hmm. I took two comments, Fish, if I could. One is that I'm a very strong supporter of this idea of an affordable commercial space fund. It's desperately needed, and I love the idea that we'd have as much flexibility as possible to spend outside of urban renewal districts. So let's make sure that it's real. Let's make sure that the money goes to a good purpose. I have a little concern with the preamble to the letter you read, Commissioner Fritz, about flexibility to use those funds for other on-site purposes like trees or mitigation of some kind. We have a crisis in the affordable residential and commercial space, and this is one tool that I think offers some promise. So I'd be inclined to keep the funds segregated for this fund, but I also would want the Prosper Portland to report to us so we make sure that it's accountable.
I'm just reading what the Planning Sustainability Commission, who many of them are developers who know far more about this than I do, this was a concern that they noted, and that it's about the increase in floor area ratio and what the impact of that is. So with all of these planning issues, it's all supposed to fit together and work together well. And so, as I say, I'm willing to move it forward as a pilot project, and I would be looking to, when the mayor brings forward the Prosper Portland program, having something in there that says, look at what the planning sustainability have concerns about, not to say that we necessarily are going to agree with all of them, just let's consider it in a thoughtful manner moving forward.
Okay. All right, so Commissioner Fritz, it sounds like we are ready then to take a motion and a second on item number 7.
So I move that we add 7 with
second.
That stated on the legend.
So we have a motion from Commissioner Fritz.
Second.
And a second from Commissioner Fish on the language as stated on the record. Very good. Okay, so tell us about next steps? I think we completed the business we need to on 350 and 351.
I think so. Yes.
Yeah,
so
nope.
Our intention is to wrap all of these amendments that you have considered into an as amended document, which we will submit back to council, possibly a substitute ordinance if that's necessary. We'll check with the city attorney's office to make sure how that goes together, and bring that back to you for, I guess, what would be considered your first vote, first action on it on April 25th at the same time or right after the map refinement project comes back to you for consideration.
Yeah, I think at that point I'm looking at Lyndon to make sure we get the right language, but we'd be bringing back substitute exhibits, and so they would simply receive those and then pass it to second reading at that time.
Yes, and we can talk about what those substitute exhibits are. Are you bringing back a substitute ordinance as well?
Yeah.
Okay, so then, yes, that will be a first reading because council will need to vote in the substitute ordinance and
right.
exhibits.
And it will reflect all the amendments that you've moved so far.
So we now have 15 minutes to pause before the next time certain?
20.
20?
Yeah, unfortunately, okay. The next pool of items is a time certain.
And I guess we should just verify that. I think we had the 25th was the day that you're already coming back to hear the map package, and so we were going to put this on that agenda.
Okay.
Correct. It's, you're
Correct.
In the 2 p.m. time certain slot.
Okay.
With map
okay.
refinement.
So I do think that's our process, and after the 25th, we'll return for second reading, final votes on the 24th of May, along with all of these other projects that you're seeing.
All right, very good. So that concludes our business for a while. We'll come back at 4:30 for the time certain items number 352, 355. We're in recess.